All right. Remember last week I said one of the easy ways to learn the Bible, stuff like that, is learn something out of each one of these chapters. Now, without looking at it, can somebody tell me chapter one? What, just one thing about it? Acts chapter one. What event takes place? The ascension. Christ ascended. You men of Galilee, why stand you here in the gazing? This same Jesus you saw go away shall come again in like manner. All right, in Acts chapter 2, without looking, somebody tell me what it's about. Pentecost, right. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. The day of Pentecost. Now remember, in chapter 1, the Lord goes into heaven. Chapter 2, the Holy Ghost comes down. Okay? Chapter 3. Like I said, folks, don't feel bad. We'll rehearse this and go over it. You'll have this all memorized in no time, stuff like that. Keep doing it every week. Lame man healed. Where was he healed at? Gate called Beautiful. Yep. All right. Chapter 4. Before the council, and they charged him and let him go. Chapter 5, what two people we come in contact with there? Ananias and Sapphira, right. What are they noted for? Lying to the Holy Ghost, got them both killed. Chapter 6, somebody tell me besides Carl what that is, that chapter's about. About the deacons. Like I said, money problems arose, so they put the deacons over to take care of that. Chapter 7. First deacon starts preaching, Stephen there. He gets stoned. Chapter 8. Second deacon starts preaching. Anybody remember his name?
Philip.
What towns he go down preaching in? What group of people is he preaching to?
Samaritans.
Remember I told you they were, what it was, the Samaritans, let me go over it again tonight. The Samaritans had, they were Jews that had intermarried. Remember the Samaria as part of Israel. They were Jews that had intermarried with the Assyrians and the Babylonians. Remember Daniel, the den of lions, the three Hebrew children, the fiery furnace? When they was over in captive, they intermarried. And because that they had intermarried with those interracial people, God didn't want that. Those that hadn't stayed strict to the Mosaic law, they wouldn't speak to them and had nothing to do with them. Remember that Samaritan woman told Jesus, you've been a Jew. You have no dealings with us. Philip started preaching. He goes down to Samaria. Chapter 9. God gets a certain preacher ready for a certain group of people. He gets Paul ready to preach to the Gentiles. And then what takes place in chapter 10? Peter preached to Cornelius, the Italians, that's the Gentiles. Listen, brings them into the church age, okay? Now, let me go. You can go ahead and look at your papers if you want to, whatever you want to. But let's go over this again. See, in chapter 1 at that ascension there, we read it to you a few weeks ago. Go back with me and look at chapter 1, Acts chapter 1. Everybody there? Look at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, when John the Baptist come preach, remember his message. One of them was, repent ye, the kingdom of heaven is hand. But also he said, there's one stand among you whose shoe latches, I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So Jesus comes after the resurrection here, assembled with the disciples. And he says, now don't depart from Jerusalem. Wait there to that promise which you've heard of me. Now these disciples, like I said, they were like you and I were. And that's why I said, God put their characteristics in here and it lets me know that there's hope for me. Cause I mess up so much and misunderstand so much. And what was their response to those verses there? Look at verse 6 with me. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time do what? Restore again the kingdom to whom?
Israel.
Now see, they were looking for Christ to come as a David, a mighty warrior, the giant killer. And they was looking for him to drive Rome into the sea and establish their kingdom back and become a nation again as with a king. And now, I've told you, here Jesus comes with a different, now he's called the Son of David. I preached to you here on Palm Sunday, remember, Hosanna to the Son of David. Here he comes as the Son of David, but not with the characteristic David as a warrior and everything. He comes preaching, if any man smite you on his one cheek, turn to him the other. This meek, lowly, Nazarite. And even when they go find Philip, and they find Nathaniel, and he says, well, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You know, well, certainly no prophet could ever come out of Nazareth, you see. And, here you got, now listen this carefully, you got Jesus. His surname is Christ. Like I said, remember in Matthew's gospel, the angel told Joseph, I should call his name just Jesus. No last name, just Jesus. And that word Jesus means Savior, because it says right after that, for he shall save his people from their sins. You see how the Bible explains itself? Savior. Save his people from their sin. Now we know the word Christ is given to him, because what's the word Christ mean? Anointed one. Remember his first message, he introduced himself to the nation of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he goes on with some other parts of that verse from Isaiah 61. Now, they're giving him the last name Christ, means Jesus the anointed one, but I told you, if you study the Bible, Jesus Barabbas, remember the one they let go? The people said, release unto us Barabbas. His name was Jesus Barabbas. Now, he's a revolutionist. I think the scripture said he's a murderer. He had killed people. He was a warrior. He was more like the David type. So you could understand why the people think, well, maybe this could be the Messiah. You see what I'm saying? And I told you, everybody remember what his name means, Barabbas. Bar means what? Son. And Abbas means what? Father. Where we cry, Abba, Father. Father, Father. The Son of the Father. See, Jesus, the Barabbas, the Son of the Father. The warrior. The revolutionist. And so you can understand why these people would think, well, maybe he could be the Messiah. I mean, you want to follow this lowly Nazarene here. I may have said Nazarite while ago. He wasn't a Nazarite. He's from Jesus of Nazareth. Excuse me. You want to follow after this lowly man from Nazareth that's talking about turning the other cheek? And here they are. They're still saying, when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, without this time, restore again the kingdom of Israel. In other words, is that what you're talking about? Now, listen, if you misunderstand the Bible, someone, don't feel bad. These were disciples been with him for 3 years and he'd been preaching to them. And they listened to John. As a matter of fact, some of John's disciples started following Jesus. Left John, started following Jesus. And, if they misunderstood, you shall be baptized, I indeed baptize you with water. He that cometh after me, whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And Jesus comes along and gives the same scriptures to them here. And after 3 years, they're still, without this time, restore again the kingdom to Israel. They're still looking for him to restore the kingdom to Israel and for him to set as a king. And not only that, Peter and some of those disciples, Simon the Zelotes or Zealot, they were revolutionists. They was out to overthrow the government. And that's why they probably joined up with Jesus, because they thought he would do that. And Peter, when he come to the Lord, he said, what's in it for us that's forsaken all things? In other words, and Peter and John, what was their request? One said at your right, when I get in your kingdom, when you get your kingdom, we want one of them to sit at the right hand, one at the left hand. They were glory seekers, I told you. And here they're asking now. He said, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. They've not really comprehended what the Lord is saying here to them. And then he said unto them, verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father put in his own power. But here's the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, right? And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Smyrna and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, I told you, as we study the scriptures, you'll see that that's exactly the way it happens. And when he had spoken, verse 9, these things, while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, now it says two men, not folks say angels, but it says two men here. I'm often told sometimes if it could not, now this is just Homer thinking, okay, for what it's worth, but it says two men, could this not be Moses and Elijah? They are his two representatives. They represent what? What do they represent? What does Moses represent?
Well, he represents the law and the prophets, right?
The law and the prophets, right. They represent the law and the prophets. So, and who was with him on the Mount of Transfiguration? Besides Peter, James, and John. Moses and Elijah, right? And two men stood by here, while they looked steadfast towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. That tells us the same Jesus that ascended, got out of the grave, spent 40 days with them here upon the earth. This same Jesus that ascended into heaven, he's going to come back. Now, a lot of times maybe when we're a young Christian, I don't know what your ideal of heaven is like, but sometimes people might think that we're all going to be kind of, because the Bible says that there's a spiritual body and there's a earthly body. And because it says spiritual body, we think that maybe that we're going to be like Casper the ghost, you know, floating around like some kind of a cloud or something like that. What's your idea of what we're going to be like when we get to heaven? Now, till we get our resurrected body, we'll have some type of a spiritual body. Because when John saw them up there, they had robes on, did they not? They had some type of a soulish body for their soul to inhabit. But when the Lord comes back and raptures us out here, them souls are in heaven tonight. Your families, them souls are going to come back and enter into those bodies where we planted them out here on the cemetery somewhere. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Those, God's going to speak and the trumpet's going to sound. No, they're going to get up on their feet. Somebody said, and let me say this. Somebody said, well, how can God do that? The bodies have decomposed and turned back to ashes and whatever.
dust, back to dust. Well, he took the dust to start with and made Adam. If we believe that, that's not hard to believe that he can get him back up one more time. I mean, he is God. I think we limit him sometimes. I've said in my little finite mind, I can't comprehend how God can do everything or going to do everything. But when I look out here right now and I see the trees blooming after being dead there, that teaches you there's a resurrection right there. I mean, how does he do that? I can't explain it, but it happens every year, right? It's been happening for almost 75 years. Every year in the wintertime, the trees die. The scientists and the people that study trees, stuff like that, tell me that all the sap comes down out of the leaves die. And all the sap goes down to the roots and lays down there till spring of the year. And God says, get up. It gets up in the spring. God programmed it that way.
Yeah.
Well, it works, does it not?
Yeah.
So if you look out there, it shouldn't be hard for us to believe that God can resurrect people from the dead. And listen, when Jesus came out of the grave, he came out of there in the same body that he went in the grave with. He didn't come out of there floating like some ghost or something. Now, his body, let me say this, before his resurrection, his body confined him. If he wanted to go into a room, he had to go open up the door. But after the resurrection, his body didn't confine him.
Well, I feel like that's the way we'll be.
Well, I think that's the same way. We'll have the same body. Just be glorified. And our bodies won't confine us. I've told you, I like to travel, and we sang that song when I woke up that great white Milky Way. We'll find here later that the Lord, how many days after his resurrection is he up on the earth with them?
40
days. Now, I want you to notice when we read that, it don't say one thing about night. Many a night, I figure the Lord probably laid over on the hills of Judea, was homesick, because he prayed, Joyce, Father, restore in us the joy or the glory we had together before the world ever was. I imagine he got homesick a lot of times. His body confined him. But after the resurrection, for those 40 days, he's here on earth. He could have went home every night and come back every morning. It don't say one thing about him being here 40 days and 40 nights. Just, I mean, we preach that sometimes because we add on to it. But not looking at the scriptures close, but it just says he's here 40 days with them. Now, the purpose of this baptism of the Holy Spirit is to organize or empower the church. Now, the church is the body of Christ, and while he was sure, they didn't need a body. But after he's gone, we're his mouthpiece, and we're his legs, and we're his hands tonight. All of us that's part of that body of Christ tonight. And we make up the body of Christ. But you shall receive power, and you shall be witness both in Jerusalem, all Judea, where else? Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, look with me in verse 14 in chapter 2, all right? But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of where? And all you dwellers of whom? Now what did it say there? You shall be witness me both in where? Jerusalem and in all Judea. Now Peter changed the words around. He said Judea and Jerusalem, but same thing, right? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Said unto them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my word. Now, see how he said you'll be witness both in Jerusalem and Judea. And then in chapter 8, Philip, that second deacon, starts preaching. He goes down to Samaria. Where's the next place he's supposed to be at? Look back over in verse 8 of chapter 1 with me. You shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea. And then where else?
Samaria, and then where else? Uttermost parts there. Now, turn with me over to Acts chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Talk about Stephen here. That's when they stoned him. Everybody there with me? Say amen if you are. And at that time there was a great what?
Persecution.
Against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were what? Throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Except the apostles. And it goes on to tell you that devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling or hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went, did what? Doing what? Now you see how it went? Jerusalem, Judea, Smyrna, uttermost parts of the earth. See how the Lord said, you shall receive power? Now, I think in chapter 8 here, this persecution rose in the church may have been because most of these disciples and everything were staying around Jerusalem and wasn't going out there preaching like God wanted them to. So the persecution rose to get them to go. Sometimes persecution, God uses it, makes it effective for His own will. Jesus got out of the grave with the same body, but a glorified body. You and I'll get up with the same old body, glorified. Verse 12, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a seventh day's journey. I used to know that. Anybody know how far you could travel on a seventh day? If you was a Jew? I forgot, sis. I used to have it written down someplace, and sometimes your Bibles tell you.
Well, in my notes, it says about 2,000 cubits or a little more than a half mile.
More than a half a mile. We'll take the deacon's word for it. Okay. About a half mile. I told you when I was in Florida, this guy was dating my half sister there, and I, got to talk to him. He was a cantor in the Jewish temple. Anybody know what a cantor is? Musician. He's a singer. Sherry, okay. Well, that's what they call him, sis. So if anybody ever comes up to me and says they're a cantor, means they're a musician, a singer. I was trying to witness to him one night. And I talked to him. I said, now, did you try to keep the seventh day? And he said, yeah. I said, what about the traveling time? He said, well, I said, we got electrical wires around the city of Hollywood, Florida here. I said, we can only go to certain streets and certain streets and certain streets. Seventh day. Then I gave him the $64,000 question. I said, what about your sacrifice? I said, now see, Orthodox Jews, they accept the Old Testament, but they don't accept the New Testament. I said, doesn't the Old Testament teach you your Bible that you got there? Doesn't it teach you that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission? He said, yes. I said, okay, what do you sacrifice? He said, I don't, but said, some sneaking do it. I said, yeah, but is it any good or is it beneficiary? What is your Bible? Where does your Bible teach it? The only place you can sacrifice at? In the temple. You have no temple, sir. So your Bible that teaches you that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, and the only place you can sacrifice is in the temple in Jerusalem, and there's no temple over if you sacrifice. He said, I guess I'll go to hell. I said, no. I said, Christ died for you. Atoned for your sins. He said, well, what do you teach? I said, I teach that the Jehovah, the old Bible, is the Christ of the New Testament. And I said, you needed an atonement more than you needed a kingdom.
So Christ atoned for you. This time when he comes back, you'll get your kingdom. Trying to witness to him. They were only allowed to travel a little over half a mile, you say there, and I'll take the deacon's word for it. And they went up to the upper room. Anybody read this enough to know how many there was up there? 120. These all continued, verse 14, with one accord, in prayer and supplication, with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. One fellow said that they's all in one accord. He said they must have been Honda drivers.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll get that in a few minutes. Now, how many days are they up there in prayer? Anybody have any idea? It tells you in verse 15 there's 120 there in case you want to mark it, sir. Greg told you where.
What chapter are you reading?
I'm in chapter 1.
I thought you chapter 8.
Oh, no, I done skipped back over to 1. Been reading that verse 8 in chapter 1, sis. I'm sorry. I thought I clarified myself. If I didn't, I apologize. I apologize. We're back in chapter 1. Verse 8 is where they receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon them. And they shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Smyrna, and then the uttermost. That was over in chapter 8. Then I got back over to chapter 1. And I apologize. They're in the upper room. There's 120 of them up there. Now, in chapter 2, the day of Pentecost will come, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But before that takes place, they're up here and they're having a prayer meeting. And I think this prayer meeting will last about 10 days or so. And so then they decide to put in another disciple to take Judas's place, Matthias here. Your Bible got a heading there? Selection of Matthias? Okay. Peter's a talking still, and he said, men and brethren, verse 16, chapter 1, okay? Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his bowels gushed out. The scripture teaches he hung himself. Thrust himself down over a hill. Some said he could have got his head caught in some kind of a brush or something like that. Said falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out. And it was known to all the dwellers at Jerusalem, inasmuch that the field is called the proper tongue, Acidalma, Dama, however you want to say that. That's the field of blood. It's called the potter's field. The priest had taken money, and he'd give back to them. They bought the potter's field with it. What does that mean, a potter's field? It was what now? Strangers or poor people in, poverty-stricken people, yeah. It was, they bought a cemetery with it. They couldn't put that money back in the treasury, I'm saying. And so they go on and read verse 20 here. It's written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and no man dwell therein, and his bishop let another take. In other words, his office, let another person take. And so they go ahead and they, pointed a couple men here. There had to be somebody that had witnessed the resurrection. So these boys must have been around the time of the resurrection. Must one be ordained to be witness of us, of his resurrection? Verse 22. And They appointed to Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "Thou, Lord, thou knowest the hearts of all men. Show whether these two thou hast chosen, that we may take part of the ministry of the apostle, that he, may take part of the ministry of the apostleship, and from which Judas by transgression failed, that he might go to his own place." Now notice Judas went to his own place. He was called a devil, you know that. He went to his own place. And they gave forth their lots. Cast forth their lots. They was kind of like still on the Old Testament to some degree, where they would cast lots. I don't know what casting lots was. Do you, Deacon?
Not sure.
Said lots was a divinely approved method of discerning God's will. It tells you different places. Cast lots in the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. I read on it years ago, and some said it's kind of like we would throw sticks into a bottle, or we would, they'd cast them into their lap, be like dice, whatever number turned up. I really don't know. Some type of a casting that they would do. And it fell on whom? Matthias. Now, you never hear of Matthias after this. I don't know. Some have said that probably these disciples did this before the Holy Ghost come and without instruction of the Holy Spirit and stuff like that. I don't know. But you never hear of him. As far as I remember, you can look up and see sometimes. And some of them said they put him in there to take Judas's place, so they'd have 12. But some say that perhaps that the Lord was choosing the Apostle Paul to replace Judas, to be the apostle to the Gentiles. I don't know that either. We'll just wait till we get to heaven. You know, we sang that song. I like to sit down and talk it all over with him, but I think we'll just be as happy when we get there. All these things won't really matter. It's for God to conceal something, for man to search it out, and that's why we have Bible studies. It's just something for us to think about. Not argue about, but think about. Now, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord, or they are there, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Now, I want you to notice that the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost here, it took place when? When the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now, what was the day of Pentecost? What's that? Well, that takes place at Pentecost, sure, but now what does the word Pentecost mean? This day and age, you got what we call Pentecostal churches, you know what I'm saying? I got some families that's members of them. I'd like to have the dedication that way they're dedicated, the way my brother is at least. He used to go to church, work all week, 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, and go out on Saturday and work on the buses. Dad, you got through working on the buses, get them all repaired. He'd go out on visitation, build up a route, and then get up on Sunday morning, drive the bus, and go pick up a busload of folks and bring them to church, then leave after church and take them all back on his route, stuff like that. Seen him a lot of times, just tired, wore out. But I appreciate his dedication over the years. He don't agree with me doctrinally wise, but I appreciate his dedication. I'd like to have a house full of people dedicated like that. Now, what does Pentecost mean? Anybody have any idea? Does your Bible say there? Pentecost just means a feast day or the 50th day. 50 or feast day. Okay? And that's why I said, if you search the Old Testament, it comes on the 50th day, Pentecost would. After a certain feast that they had. So that's why, now listen to me carefully, and I'm going to hush after this and we'll get into this next week. Listen how God put this together. It was a feast day. They was gathered at Jerusalem for a feast day. So you can look at this if you want to during the week. There are 17 different nations represented there. All Jewish, but born in different nations. Just like I said, you got Hellenistic Jews. That means that Jews was born in Greece. They're Hellenistic, they call them. Pentecost is a feast day where they'd all come for this feast, and God took advantage of that to get the message out to all these different nations, represented these different nations here, to get the gospel out to them. It's the 50th day. It's a feast day, and it's on the 50th day. Now listen to this carefully tonight. Pentecost takes place exactly 7 sevens after the resurrection. The day starting after the resurrection. Count the resurrection, it's the 50th day. You got that now? 7 sevens, complete number. 7 times 7, 49. Day of the resurrection is the 50th day. Complete number with God. 7 sevens. Pentecost takes place. That's why I said it's the 50th day. And so they was in that upper room about 10 days because he's with them here 40 days and nights. And then he departs and tells them to wait for that promise. And they go there, and they're about 10 days in that upper room. 40 days, 10 days, Pentecost takes place on the 50th day. Everybody got that? Did I explain it good enough? If not, we'll do it again next week.